A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord, he will be my shepherd. Nothing more shall I want.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, if you are patient when you suffer for what is good, for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that, free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you had gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a murderer, a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven all out of it on his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will not run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of the strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize that he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I have come so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? Doesn't sound it. I don't know what happened, but you guys aren't singing much anymore. So you got to sing. Because when you sing, what do? Pray twice. So don't you want to pray twice at Mass? Thank you. So I know you will. Now, I just got off the road from giving talks all over the country. And the first night when I was in Houston, I scared the hell out of everybody, literally. They had no hell left inside of them. And a woman came up, and she, it was very good because she came and says, "Father, thank you for coming because I know you're here to save our souls." And I said, "Thank you." Instead of like, "Shut up, Father, you're making me feel uncomfortable." Because I do that. I don't know if you people have noticed that here. But the reality is that when I go and when I preach and when I do whatever I do, when I pray the Holy Spirit, the Lord convicts me and then I have to convict you. But he convicts me first, as I say. So it's not like I'm just throwing stones, you know, and seeing who gets mad. I'm here and this is what the Lord says to me. And he says, "Now I want you to preach it." And I go, "Okay, I'll preach it." And so I want to preach on today is what God said to me, is I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So we who are the followers of Jesus Christ should be more alive than everybody else. Again, that isn't always the case. In fact, again, that's why when I was down in Houston, fantastic people, but they were very holy, holy type people, huh? And so when I find someone who's too focused on themselves, I let them have it. And I just sit there and say, "Listen, you're supposed to look like you're fully alive, not like you're constipated. Does everybody understand?" And they look, "Constipated?" I said, "Yeah, that means full of Father." But it's true. If we're a church and we look, I don't want to be a Christian, and I'm sure no one else wants to be a Christian when the Christians are not living life fully, when the Christians are just condemning other people and condemning themselves. Again, all of us here who read the Gospels, they found out more than anything that Jesus Christ came to heal us, came to save us, and Jesus was hard. But guess, again, you all read it with me. Who was Jesus hard on? The Pharisees. Those who thought they could earn salvation. The sinners. Oh my gosh, you'd be scandalized today how nice he was to these people. But he wanted them to know that he was going to pay the price for their sins. Too many of us are focused on, I got to pay the price for my sins. You're a heretic. If you think you got to pay the price for your sins and you're always focused on yourself and your sinfulness and how bad I am and how I don't live enough for Jesus, you're all that bad. I am worse than any of you. But you know what? Jesus Christ said in the second reading that he came and paid the penalty for what? Our sins. So the first thing, to live life abundantly, means that we must live lives of gratitude. We're living life if we're living a life of gratitude. If we're only focused on ourselves and our sins, and hopefully I'll make it, like I talked about last week, even in your prayer life, if your prayer life is only focused on yourself and only focused on, you know, help me to be better and da-da-da, all these people are going to damnation around us and we're still concerned only about our holiness. If we were more concerned about the unsaved the way Jesus was, we'd be living life and we would not be focused on self. Again, when we focus on self, it's never of God. God calls us and saves us from ourself, because a life focused on self, even in prayer, is a selfish life. And we look at the cross, the time he gave his life, and says, I want you to live life fully. Now, again, the way we're going to do that is two things. First, it says in the gospel, my sheep hear my voice. And so a woman came to me yesterday in Houston and during the break, and she says, Father, how do I hear the voice of God? And I said, well, first of all, you got to be one of his sheep. And well, what do you mean by that, Father? And I said, to be a sheep means not that you go to church and you're Catholic and you do all these nice things. That does not make you a sheep. A sheep is one who has fully surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Completely. I no longer live, Jesus Christ lives inside of me. So it's about forgetting ourselves, because we no longer live, Jesus lives inside of us. And now if I fully surrendered, and then the second thing I said to her is, you got to shut up in your prayer. You got to do more listening so you can recognize his voice. If I've never met somebody and they call me on the phone, I will not recognize who they are. But if they call me every day, even without ID, I can tell the first word out of their mouth. It's about that relationship where I'm listening to God every day, every day, every day. But I said to her, if you're not used to listening, that means if you're only used to saying your prayers every day, saying your prayers every day, saying your prayers every day, and not listening to the voice of the shepherd, then you got to go to the scriptures. Because then I promise you, every time you read the Bible, you're going to hear his voice. Because the whole Bible is his voice. Huh? So if you can't hear God because you can't shut up long enough in word to word, then you read his scripture until he speaks to you every day. Again, as I've told you for 21 years, but still most of you don't do it. Every day you must have no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Now, again, I have been telling you this for 21 years. Some of you do it, but you know most of you do not. And so it's hard to hear God's voice when you won't listen to the voice of your shepherd who's in front of you and is the loudest mouth priest in the world. Correct? So if you're not going to listen when the pastor tells you, this is what I want you to do so that you can hear God's voice, and you go, that's nice, Father Larry's gone on and on and on and on. You got to do it. So if every morning you start with God's word and every night you end with God's word, you heard God's voice in the morning and you heard God's voice before you went to bed. Because another woman came up to me yesterday. I had a lot of women come up to me yesterday and says, Father, I have nightmares. I said, what do you do before you go to bed? And she told me, and I says, this is what I want you to do. Read the Bible before you go to bed. Because now the word of God, the last thing you heard, wasn't from your family, wasn't from the world, wasn't from TV. It was from God. Now read his word till he gives you peace, and then fall asleep and have peace. Oh, Father, okay. Sounds good. Not going to do. Most things aren't going to do it. But we need to do it. So God says if we're going to live life abundantly, we got to listen to his voice. And then he says he will lead us and we will follow. So again, how important it is. The guy before me, a great guy, talked about how we have to listen to the saints and da-da-da-da-da-da. And he read all these saints. Some of the saints I never even heard of. They were so old. But I says, it's great to listen to the saints, but I would rather you listen to Jesus. So, well, this saint said this, well, this saint said this, and a lot of saints contradicted each other. And if you base your life on what a saint says, that's an idol. You and I are to base our life on what the shepherd says, not one of the sheep only. Huh? Even if the sheep was a shepherd like me, if you base your life on what I say, that ain't going to be good. But if you shape my life on what I tell you to focus on God, that would be fine. But if I tell every one of you, I think it'd be a great idea if you fast every day 23 hours a day and eat only one meal. What would you do? Father's a nut, correct? But if I tell you to spend time listening to the shepherd, how's that ever wrong? How's that anything else than leading you to heaven? I tell you to listen to Jesus. And so when you listen to him and he says, I've given my life for you. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I am here. How could we not have this joy and not live life abundantly? Not only because he's telling us to listen to him, but the main reason that we must live abundantly is because who lives inside of us? Jesus. So if we only focus on ourselves and our sinfulness and how weak I am and how bad I am, oh, how bad that is and how we'll feel horrible and how nobody's going to come to Jesus because of us. But, that was real high. But if we sit there and we focus that Jesus Christ is alive inside of me, I no longer live, Jesus lives inside of me. Jesus doesn't die inside of me. He lives inside of me. So you and I get out of the way and we let Jesus live his life abundantly inside of us. That's what the call of the gospel is. This is what Jesus Christ is trying to teach us today. We either listen or obey because we hear his voice, or we follow our own way and are miserable because I think I know the best way to be a Christian. I think Jesus knows the best way, and that you and I gotta listen. May you know his love today and forever. Amen.